Mason takes to floor hockey with gusto, whacking delightedly at the little rubber puck as soon as Sydney has shown him how to hold the stick. His aim isn't very good. Gino soon learns not to stand anywhere near the tiny goal if he doesn't want to get hit in the knee or shin by a rogue puck.
"Going to have a very broken clothes dryer,"
he says to Sydney when the puck pings off the wall to the left of the goal. Sydney laughs and ruffles Mason's hair fondly, as Mason makes a determined face and swings at the next puck Sydney puts in front of him. "He's not doing too bad for a first try," Sydney says. "He'll get better." He does, too. By the end of the week, Mason is making it in the goal 3 times out of 10, and Sydney is absurdly smug about it in the dressing room to the point where Cookie checks him into the boards just to get him to shut up about it.
"We get it. Your kid is going to be like the love child of Mario and Gretzky, and he's going to probably beat all of our kids one day,"
he says as Sydney laughs.
"Leave it to the scouting report in 16 years' time, okay?"
"He'll be the captain for all your kids," Sydney counters. And Gino smiles at the idea of Mason at the head of a team of penguin children. Sydney Skypes with Aaron at least once a week when they're in town, and Gino usually gives them their space to talk, not wanting to intrude. Mason is having a particularly squirmy day, though, so Gino sits in to help keep him still. He half expects Aaron to say something when she sees him. But she doesn't ask why he's there, just says, "Hi, Gino."
"Hi, Aaron,"
he says, waving. Mason squirms in his lap and reaches towards the computer screen. She smiles and waves at him, eyes sad.
"Mason, miss you."
"Mama,"
Mason says plaintively. Sydney shifts next to Gino, mouth turned down unhappily, and Gino reaches over to squeeze his knee, forgetting that Aaron can see them. When he looks back at the computer, she's watching them sharply, and she and Sydney have what appears to be a conversation entirely with long stares. Gino feels a little awkward being in the middle of it, and even more awkward at the reminder of how long they have known each other. Eventually, she smiles again and starts talking to Mason, who is able to string together two-word responses for most of her questions. He's not wholly coherent yet, but Gino is getting the feeling he's going to be a chatterbox once he gets old enough to form full sentences. Mason gets squirmy after 20 minutes, and Gino lets him down to go play on the floor while Aaron and Sydney talk. He feels a little like a third wheel and is thinking about excusing himself when Aaron says, "I think I'm going to be coming back soon. For good this time, like I promised." Gino's head jerks up, and he looks over to see that Sydney has gone pale. "Oh," Sydney says, voice leaden. "Do you know when?" "End of April." Aaron leans away from the camera and comes back with a handful of papers. "I haven't worked out my flights, but it'll be soon." Sydney is so tense that his knuckles have gone white, and Gino reaches over to settle his hand over Sydney's, gentle and reassuring. Sydney slowly lets out a breath and says, "I'm glad." "We'll work things out when I'm back in the United States," she says. "Okay?" "Okay," Sydney says, and they say their goodbyes, turning the computer so Mason can shout goodbye from the floor. Sydney is very quiet after they end the Skype call. Gino watches warily as Sydney gets to his feet, looking lost, and finally asks quietly,
"Sid, are you okay?"
Sydney looks up. "I'm fine," he says, his voice very falsely bright. "We should put Mason down for his nap."
"Sid."
"He'll get cranky if we don't," Sydney says, and he swings down to pick up Mason. Mason starts squirming unhappily, and he starts shouting when he realizes what's going on, kicking out his legs.
"No nap!"
he protests at ear-splitting volume. And Sydney's face kind of crumples, cheeks reddening and his mouth opening in a silent, "Oh." Gino hurriedly takes Mason out of his arms as Sydney turns away.
Shh, Mason,
Gina says, watching the defeated line of Sydney's shoulders.
Have to nap or no jello with dinner.
Mason looks thoughtful at this. After a moment, he nods and Gino goes to put him down before he changes his mind. He returns to the bedroom to find Sydney sitting on the edge of his bed, head in his hands. Gino wraps a hand around the back of Sydney's neck and says insistently,
Sid.
I'm fine, Sydney says without looking up. Is he in bed?
Yes,
Gino tugs.
Come on, we eat lunch now.
When Sydney finally straightens, he looks okay. But Gino knows Sydney better than to necessarily believe what he sees. He desperately wants to poke away, find out how Sydney is really feeling. Instead, he decides to let Sydney be for now, so he can process everything. Sydney almost visibly pushes away his concern as they go downstairs to the kitchen. And by the time Gino is cutting tomatoes for their sandwiches, he's managed to slap on a passable facade of cheeriness that might fool someone else.
Sydney,
Gino starts. I don't want to talk about it, Sydney says sharply, and he shoves an onion at Gino. Cut. Gino sighs and does as Sydney asks. He has known, at the back of his mind, that Erin would come back eventually, and he has no doubt that she would like to regain full custody of Mason when she does. He had seen her face when she was with him. It was the same one Sydney has every time he comes home from a road trip. Gino gets it. Mason is as integral to his life now as Sydney is. A constant presence who can be irritating at times, an utter delight at others, and always, always important. He doesn't even know where to begin with Sydney. Tell him it will be okay, that he won't miss Mason as much as he thinks he will. It's a lie that neither of them would believe. So, instead of making Sydney talk about it, he gives Sydney a kiss at the temple and holds him close until Sydney lets out a breath and relaxes into him. After that, there's simply no time to talk. They're jostling with a late surging Rangers team for the division title, and Sydney starts to get stressed and irritable around the end of the season anyway. Gino, for his part, is just tired. It's been a long season, and he's gassed physically and emotionally. Sydney explodes at Gino when he accidentally buys the wrong brand of peanut butter, and Gino snaps right back, and they spend two stubborn days not speaking to each other except when they absolutely have to. Their tenseness sets Mason on edge, too, and he throws several emphatic temper tantrums that neither of them have much energy to diffuse, which, of course, makes both of them even crankier. It's a stupid, petty argument that's resolved when Gino goes to the store and buys a jar of the proper brand. In lieu of apologizing, he leaves it on Sydney's pillow. He's been sleeping in one of the guest rooms, and that night, Sydney sneaks into bed with him, slipping in after Mason finally goes to bed.
I'm sorry, Gino says sleepily. Forgot to read your list.
I'm sorry I freaked out, Sydney sighs. I hate fighting with you.
I don't like it,
Gino agrees, wrapping his arm around Sydney's shoulders. Sydney is quiet for a moment. I'm worried, he says eventually. I don't want Erin to... He bites his lip. It isn't that I don't want her to come back, I just want... Words seem to fail him, and Gino nods, stroking Sydney's curls away from his forehead.
You want to keep Mason,
he says softly.
Me too.
He's her son too, Sydney sighs, and buries his face into Gino's chest. I don't want things to change, I want them how they are.
Me too,
Gino says again.
But Sid, I promise I not leave you. Maybe go to Russia for a week, too, but I stay. With you, if you want.
Of course I do, Sydney mumbles something against Gino that he doesn't quite catch, and Gino tilts Sydney's chin up towards him.
Can't hear, Sid.
I said I love you, Sydney says, louder. Gino opens his eyes. He can barely make out the curve of Sydney's cheek, and it isn't enough to tell if Sydney's blushing. But he strongly suspects he is. Gino shifts his hand to Sydney's jaw and feels Sydney's smile, the slight dimpling of his cheek.
Say again, Gino breathes.
Sydney hops and pushes himself up so he's braced on an elbow. I love you. Gino grins and yanks Sydney towards him, finding his mouth in the darkness. Sydney melts into him, their legs twining together, and Gino is pulling at Sydney's shirt before long, spreading his hands along the small of Sydney's back, down into his shorts to grab his ass, and Sydney shudders and breaks away. We have a game tomorrow, he reminds Gino. If we win...
Hate your rules,
Gino mutters, flopping back. If it helps, right now, I hate them too. Sydney kisses Gino as an apology, slow and thorough. We should go to sleep. Gino hums and pulls Sydney down to his chest.
Okay, and you have peanut butter, so should win.
Should, yes. Sydney presses his lips to Gino's jaw. Thank you for being here. For staying.
Always,
Gino murmurs.
Always, Sid.
They win their home game against Boston, and Gino takes Sydney out for a celebratory dinner over his protests, insisting that they deserve it. They take a back table in a dark corner, out of sight of the main restaurant, and Gino orders him a bottle of wine. The season isn't over yet, Sydney says, even as he picks up his glass.
Why are you doing this?
Because I want to,
Gino says simply. Under the table, he hooks his foot around the back of Sydney's ankle, and Sydney smiles into his wine glass.
Have time now. Give you good night.
All right. Sydney glances around, then rests his hand on Gino's for a fleeting moment. Thank you. They have a nice meal, talking about Mason's hockey prowess. He's getting better at firing more than one in a row without falling over. And Sydney excitedly telling Gino about his plans for Mason and how he's been looking into children's skates. Only if he wants to, though, he adds, suddenly looking guilty. I don't want to make him do anything he doesn't want.
Mason is your son,
Gino says, laughing.
Of course he wants to play hockey.
I hope so, Sydney sighs. I mean, if he wants to, I don't know, play tuba? I'll support him, but I really hope he plays hockey. Gino raises his eyebrows, trying to suppress a smile.
Tuba.
It was the first thing I could think of, Sydney huffs, kicking at Gino under the table. But he's smiling back. Mason is still awake when they go home and has to be pried away, kicking and screaming from his toys in the living room. Gino helps a wild-eyed Simone gather up her belongings and walks her to her car, apologizing for taking so long at dinner. It's fine, she says, rubbing her face. I love Mason, don't get me wrong, but he is exhausting sometimes.
Yes,
Gino says wryly.
I know, thank you.
Night, Gino, she mumbles, getting into her car, and she watches to be sure she gets out of the driveway all right before he heads back inside. Sydney is giving Mason a stern lecture when Gino joins him upstairs, telling him about the virtues of sleep and why it's important for growing boys. Mason looks distinctly unimpressed, and Gino had the feeling if he had a better command of language, he would ask Sydney to stop being boring. Sydney finishes his talk by kissing Mason's head gently and saying, "Be nice to Simone tomorrow, okay? Now say goodnight." Night, Da, Mason says obediently. Night, G. Sydney nods, satisfied, and backs out of the room, nearly walking into Gino, who catches him by the shoulders and leans past him to switch off the lights. Sydney sighs and leans against Gino, churning up his face for a kiss, a silent request that Gino gladly granted. Bed, Sydney suggests, breathlessly, when Gino finally manages to pull back. His mouth looks pleasingly plump and pink, and Gino can't resist rubbing a thumb over it, shuddering when Sydney's eyelids drop to half-mast at the contact.
Yes,
Gino rasps, and he goes easily when Sydney fastens his fingers around his wrist. He takes his time undressing Sydney because he still hasn't gotten tired of that part, especially the way Sydney goes pink under his attentions. Sydney hooks his fingers into Gino's belt loops and pulls him forward so he can kiss him. As he fumbles with Gino's shirt buttons, and Gino helps him, untucking his shirt and unbuckling his belt. The bed squeaks when Sydney pulls Gino to it, and Gino is about to say something about it when Sydney gently nudges Gino's knees apart and kneels between them. Sydney is good at this part, and seems to love that he's good at it if his smug smiles are anything to go by. Gino should probably be more put off by Sydney smirking, but he's not going to try to stop him. Not when he reaps the rewards. Sydney keeps Gino from pushing up with an arm across his hips, and Gino twists beneath him, hands clenching in the sheets as Sydney hollows his cheeks, mouth stretched obscenely around his cock. His eyes flick up to meet Gino's, and that's worse. His hazel eyes, knowing and coy underneath his lashes. Gino gives in to temptation and buries one hand in Sydney's hair, combing his fingers through the thick curls. And Sydney groans, eyes slipping closed again.
Sid,
Gino sighs, and Sydney sucks harder, moving his hand in time with his mouth.
Sid.
What? Sydney asks, pulling off. There's a thin string of spit trailing from his lower lip to Gino's dick. And it shouldn't be hot, but Gino still has to think very hard about the smog in Magnitogorsk for a moment. What is it?
I want.
Gino draws in a shuddery breath.
Sid.
And he doesn't know how to get his desire across, his brain fracturing as he tries to bring out the words in English. And Sydney's eyes go wide, and his terrible, horrible mouth opens, and he breathes. Okay. Before scrambling up the bed to kiss Gino, wet and dirty and desperate. They haven't tried this before. Haven't been patient enough or ready enough, but Gino just needs to have Sydney in him tonight. Sydney is hesitant about it, even though they prep together, his hands going white-knuckled on Gino's knees as he presses in. Gino, for his part, breathes out slowly and curves his fingers over Sydney's until Sydney relaxes and gets into it. Gino is grateful for his flexibility when Sydney leans down to kiss him. It feels much more urgent, somehow, that he has Sydney's mouth on his. And when Sydney picks up his courage and starts moving in a smooth, steady rhythm, Gino hooks his hand around Sydney's neck, fingers playing under the chain, and pulls Sydney back down to him. Sydney, when he comes, kisses Gino like he's afraid he won't get the chance again, his lips moving unevenly and his fingers digging into the muscle of Gino's thighs. It's just the right edge of hurt for Gino, and he arches up, desperate for some kind of pressure on his dick. Sydney murmurs an apology against Gino's mouth before moving his hand and getting Gino off in the space of a few diminishing thrusts. Fuck, Sydney says, awed, and topples forward. He hasn't quite pulled out of Gino, and his cock is softening slowly inside him. It feels a bit strange, but Gino's too busy tracing shapes on Sydney's sweaty back to care much. He kisses Sydney's jaw, his temple, his ear.
Love you.
Sydney smiles. Gino can feel it against his cheek and turns his mouth to Gino's. You too, he says, husky and sincere. This close, his eyelashes are just dark smears. His eyes are a little lighter, and Gino closes his eyes so he can memorize every piece of this moment, can paint the image of Sydney into the back of his eyelids. Cool air rushes over Gino's body as Sydney moves away, and he shivers reflexively. Sydney tosses the blanket over him and murmurs, "I'm going to take a shower. Do you want one?"
"Can I come?"
Gino asks, cracking his eyes open. Sydney, his naked body lit by the moonlight streaming in through the window, laughs. We won't get much showering done if you're in there with me, he says. Gino has to concede his point. Gino takes a quick shower after Sydney, just a short rinse to wash the semen and sweat from his skin, and he returns to find Sydney sitting awake in bed, hands clasped over his stomach. Frowning, Gino sits next to him and asks,
"Something wrong?"
For a moment, Sydney is silent, though his hands are moving restlessly. When he speaks, his voice is low. "I don't want to lose this." Gino wraps his arm around Sydney's shoulders and kisses his damp hair.
"Lose what? Mason? Me?"
"Either. Both." Sydney turns his face into Gino's shoulder. "I've gotten so used to this. I don't want things to change."
"Me too,"
Gino confesses quietly, rubbing at Sydney's arm.
"Love you. Love Mason. Feel..."
He hesitates. Happy doesn't quite cover it, but he's been happy before, and there's a world of difference between the happy high of winning a game and the baseline level of bliss he's been living in for the past month. He finally settles on saying,
"Home."
Sydney nods. "This is the longest I've gone without moving back into Mario's guest house." He laughs, self-deprecating and harsh. "And it might all go away."
"I say I not leave, Sid," Gina reminds him. "I promise."
"But you will be gone for a bit," Sydney says. "And that's fine. I would never tell you not to go home. But Aaron will be back and Mason..." He breaks off, looking stricken. Gino's chest is tight, his breath coming shallow and uncomfortable.
"Can you ask Aaron for time? More with Mason?"
"If she's coming back for good, it's better if he's with her. She can offer him a more stable life than I can." Sydney's mouth twists in a bitter smile. "I'm tied here until I'm 37, Gino. Do you know how old Mason will be then?" He continues without waiting for an answer. "And I'll miss it because I'm gone half of the year, and I'm always going to be busy, and Aaron can at least be at home for him if she picks up a normal job." "It's no contest, Gino. She offers the better life for him." Intellectually, Gino knows Sydney is right, but he can't stand the idea of Sydney without Mason, or of Mason without Sydney. He knows Aaron is a good person and would be... is a good mother to Mason, but Mason is Sydney's and, to some extent, his, too. And he doesn't want Mason to go so far away. He squeezes Sydney's shoulder again, unable to offer any words of comfort other than,
"I stay here for you, Sid. If no Mason, I stay. We'll not leave you alone."
Sydney's breath catches audibly in his throat. Then he turns and kisses Gino fiercely. Gino holds him close and wishes he could do more. Aaron is set to return the third week of April, the day after the last game of the delayed season. Gino plays with Mason in the living room while Sydney talks to her about the details. He's been trying to teach Mason a few Russian words, and while he has been unsuccessful in getting Mason to call Sydney Papa instead of Dada, he has taught him please and thank you, which Gino thinks are valuable words to know.
"Now I will not be ashamed to introduce you to your grandmother,"
Gino says when Mason prettily asks for the toy truck, sitting to Gino's left. He hands it over and raises his eyebrows expectantly. "Thank you," Mason says in Russian that's about as clear as any of his English. And he beams when Gino ruffles his hair as reward. "Are you teaching him to speak Russian?" Sydney asks from the door. And Gino twists around to wave at him.
"Good language. Language for smart people,"
Gino says wisely. And Sydney rolls his eyes before coming to crouch down next to Gino. "Yeah, whatever," he says.
"What is the news?"
Gino asks after a moment. "Aaron is landing in Philadelphia on Sunday, and she's going to take care of some stuff at her house before she drives out here," Sydney says in a tense, quiet voice. Gino rests his hand on Sydney's back, and Sydney lets out a shuddery breath. I don't want this to happen. Mason chooses that moment to look up and see Sydney. Dada, he cries, pushing himself to his feet.
Papa,
Gino puts in, and Sydney lets out an involuntary-sounding snort of laughter.
Call him Papa like good Russian.
Mason frowns and wavers unsteadily on his feet. Papa? He asks, looking between Gino and Sydney.
Papa,
Gino says, nodding.
G-Papa?
Mason suggests. And Gino is about to say no, that's Sydney's, but Sydney nods suddenly, expression going mulish.
Yes, G is Papa, he says.
Dada?
Papa.
He points between the two of them. Mason squints at them suspiciously. After a moment, he nods and says,
Dada?
Papa. Before running and flinging himself into Sydney's arms. Sydney laughs and stands, tickling Mason's sides. Gino doesn't move, though, his breath caught in his throat. It's only the sound of Mason's voice saying,
Papa G?
That makes him look up. His eyes damp and burning.
Yes?
He asks. His voice comes out as a croak, and he clears his throat, shakes his head, and tries again.
Yes, Mason?
Papa play?
Mason suggests. He points at the hockey stick and puck. Come on, Gino, Sydney says, grinning down at him. You can play goalie.
Okay,
Gino says, getting to his feet.
Let's play.
He keeps thinking about it later, though. The way Mason's bright voice said Papa, and he has to ask Sydney about it later.
Call me Papa, not too fast. You think he is ready for that?
Sydney stops washing the dish in his hand and stares at Gino. What?
I live here only 2 months, Gino points out. You only know I love you for 3. I know you say you're not worried, but...
Yes, Sydney says when Gino trails off. What is it? Gino sighs, feeling dumb.
Not too soon for Mason?
I don't know. Sydney hands the plate in his hands to Gino to dry and leans against the sink. The first time I held Mason in my arms, I knew that it was meant to be. I know that sounds stupid, he adds, scowling at Gino, but I've learned to trust my instincts. Sometimes things just feel right. He looks down at his hands. Loving you isn't hard, Gino, and I trust you. You're a good father to Mason. You bathe him, you care for him when he's sick, you spoil him, but don't let him get away with anything. Can you name one other person besides Simone who's around as much as you are? Gino thinks about this for a few moments as he wipes the plate down with a dish towel. Then he carefully sets the plate on the dish drain and leans over to kiss Sydney lightly.
Okay,
he says when he pulls back. Sydney arches his eyebrows.
Okay, just okay.
Yes, just okay.
Gino snaps his fingers impatiently.
Wash next dish, Sid.
Sydney snorts and says, okay, before picking up the next plate and turning the sink back on. The next few days, while they wait for Aaron to arrive, are quiet and tense. Mason seems to pick up on their mood and throws more temper tantrums than usual, over anything and everything, from his food to his clothes to his toys. Things are made worse by a loss at home to the Rangers, leaving a sour taste in all of their mouths. By the fourth day, both of them are worn thin and exhausted. And when they show up to practice, Dan takes one look at them and tells them to take a maintenance day. Coach, protests Sydney, and Dan crosses his arms. We have playoffs soon.
That's exactly why I don't want you running yourself ragged, Dan says sternly. I know Gino has been helping you out with Mason, but sometimes you just need a break. Both of you go home, sleep. You can come back after you've had at least 5 more hours.
Sydney opens his mouth to complain more and yawns widely instead. his jaw cracking loudly. Gino doesn't even have the energy to tease him for it, just leans heavily against his stall and nods.
I take him home.
God.
Dan gives them a look that has Gino suspecting that Mario may have clued him in to the more intimate details of their living arrangement.
Make sure you sleep, Sydney. You're no good to us exhausted. I remember what it's like to have a toddler, and I had a wife who could take the brunt of it when I had games. You don't. Take the morning.
Gino nods and grabs Sydney's arm to drag him out of the dressing room before he can complain more. Sydney had volunteered to take Mason's crying jag that night, and when he had finally come back to bed, he had been red-eyed too, miserable that he didn't know how to help Mason. Both of them had spent the night restless, and Gino had dipped in and out of sleep, waking to the sound of Sydney shifting in bed or getting up to pace. They arrive home and find Simone playing with Mason in the living room. She frowns at them, and Gino holds out his hand, looking at Sydney.
Stay, he says. Take Mason to the park, maybe?
Sure, she says, pushing herself to her knees. What's going on?
Coach sent us home, Gino says. Tell us to rest.
Yeah, he hasn't been giving you an easy time of it, has he? Simone tickles Mason's neck gently before picking him up. Mason is very quiet, eyes downcast, and Gino reaches out to smooth the unruly, feathery curls. Go. I'll take him out. Maybe it'll help improve his mood, eh? She goes to get Mason's coat and hat while Gino pushes Sydney up the stairs to the bedroom. Sydney has given up protesting altogether, his head nodding with every step. He falls forward onto the bed without even taking off his shoes, and even though Sydney doesn't care now, Gino knows he will later, so he unlaces Sydney's sneakers and takes them off for him, before shrugging off his own sweatshirt and lying down beside him. Sydney is already mostly asleep, mouth open slightly. He presses in close when Gino settles next to him, and the wrinkles in his forehead smooth out. They sleep for nearly 5 hours, Sydney a little longer than Gino, and by the time Gino wakes in the early afternoon, he is feeling 1,000 times better. There's still that part of him waiting for the other shoe to drop, but until it happens, there's no point in worrying. Sydney seems happier when he wakes up, too, and Gino gives him a fond kiss before going downstairs to investigate what they can eat for lunch. Their last game of the season is an away game against the Leafs, and it's harder than usual to drag themselves out of the house to get to the airplane. Sydney hugs Mason tightly, face turned in. After a moment, Gino wraps his arms around both of them and breathes in the combined smell of Sydney with his soap and aftershave and the sweet baby powder smell of Mason's skin. We'll be back soon, Sydney whispers to Mason, voice catching a little. I promise. Mason nods and lets them hand him off to Simone. Sydney looks back 3 times before they reach the end of the walk, and when Gino chances a look back of his own, he sees Mason waving sadly. Gino swallows hard and takes Sydney's elbow.
Not gone long, he says softly. Back soon.
It feels different this time, Sydney replies, and Gino has nothing to say because Sydney's right. This could be the last time they do this. He wishes he could kiss Sydney, soothe the worry lines from his face. Instead, he just squeezes Sydney's arm. They sit apart on the plane, as usual, and Gino distracts himself by talking to Paul and James and playing cards. Sydney, meanwhile, curls up in the seat next to Flower and doesn't talk for the entire plane ride. James elbows Gino about halfway through and asks in a low voice,
Everything okay?
He jerks his head towards Sydney. Gino shrugs.
Bad time,
he says, but doesn't elaborate. James nods, though he still looks curious. Gino doesn't want to go into it, so he takes the opportunity to lay down his cards and say,
Jin.
Sydney is on the phone as soon as they land, expression dark,
Gino walks closely behind him to keep anyone from bothering him and listens to him talk to Simone. When Sydney hangs up, he lets his hand bump against Sydney's comfortingly before falling back a few steps to walk with James.
Their game against the Leafs starts out promisingly, with good momentum and solid play. Then a bad turnover from TK leads to a Leafs goal, and things start to go downhill.
Gino takes a stupid penalty that he should know better than to do, and he fumes in the box for his allotted 2 minutes, reminding himself that it doesn't help the team when he gets in trouble with the refs. The first intermission is quiet as Dan talks to them, disappointment clear in his voice as he looks over the edge of his glasses at them. TK looks miserable, slumped back against his stall, and even Bo seems to be having trouble looking happy. Sydney gets up after a moment, mouth set in a tense line. They all look up and wait. Sydney isn't the type to give speeches often, but when he does, it's always valuable. Sydney looks out over them, arms crossed. "We've had a hell of a season," he says after a moment, "and we're guaranteed a spot in the playoffs. We could probably take it easy for this game, go into the playoffs well rested. But we're better than that. And you know it." He gives a short nod before dropping back into his seat. Voki shifts in his seat and says, "Get your head in the fucking game." And somehow, that breaks the tension. James throws a sock at TK, and Bo chuckles as he relaces his skates, and they head out into the second with more lightness than the 2-0 score should deserve. And it works, somehow. Sydney feeds Duper a gorgeous pass 5 minutes into the second, Gino scoring 2 minutes later. And when he bumps his glove against Sydney's as he skates by the bench, Gino feels lighter on his skates than he has in days. Bo clinches the win for them with a goal in the third period, grinning wide when Sydney hugs him in celebration. And they end with a 4-2 score, with an empty netter from Tanger to put the ribbon on the game. Gino can't help the exuberant hug he gives Sydney once they're down the tunnel and in the dressing room. And he gives Voki one for good measure, too, before heading off to shower and change. When he returns, the press have mostly left except for one or two getting one last quote for the articles covering the end of the regular season. Gino makes a face at Sydney over a reporter's shoulder and grins when Sydney has to duck his head to hide an answering smile. They head back to the hotel, and Gino sneaks into Sydney's room once he's relatively sure everyone else has settled in for the night. Sydney smiles at him when he opens the door, though it's vague and distant. "Only 2 more days," he says, subdued. Gino sighs and rubs his back. Sydney turns his face into Gino's shoulder and sighs heavily.
"Come," Gino says after a moment. "Sleep."
The morning comes far too soon. Mason is cranky and uncooperative, and Sydney nearly breaks down when Mason starts throwing a tantrum about his overalls. Gino does his best to calm both of them down with limited success. He manages to get Mason dressed and downstairs while Sydney takes a moment to collect himself, and is in the process of getting him fed when the doorbell rings. Mason bangs his spoon on his high chair and says, "Papa!"
"I know," Gino says. "Sydney."
Sydney comes downstairs, white as a sheet. Gino gives him a tight hug, kisses him, and says,
"Ready?"
"No," Sydney says. He straightens up and sets his jaw as if he's getting ready for a game. "Let's do this." They go to the door together and open it to find Erin standing on the doorstep, looking exhausted but radiantly happy, her thick hair pulled back and her smile bright. "I know I came a little earlier than I said I would, but I couldn't wait," she says. "I hope that's okay." Sydney's smile could charitably be described as strained.
"It's fine. Mason's eating breakfast right now."
"Can I see him?" Erin asks, and Sydney lets her in. Gino exchanges a nervous look with him before they follow her into the kitchen. "Mama!" Mason shrieks when he sees Erin, and he starts straining to get out of his high chair, pushing at the armrests. Aaron hurries to his side and sweeps him out and into her arms. "Hi, baby," she says, soft and private, smile only growing brighter. "You're so big. You're going to be bigger than Sydney soon." Sydney chokes out a laugh. Gino reaches out blindly for Sydney's hand and squeezes, not caring if Aaron sees. Mason is babbling to Aaron something about play and Papa and Dada, and she's listening raptly, nodding every time he pauses for breath. "Aaron, you should let Mason show you his hockey skills," Sydney says suddenly, still with that horrible, false smile on his face. "Okay, show Mama your hockey." "Hockey?" Aaron asks, grinning at Mason. "Just like your dad and Gino, huh? Okay, honey, show me what you can do." "Living room," Sydney says, jerking his head, and she flashes him a smile before heading off with Mason. The moment she's out of the room, Sydney sags against Gino, smile vanishing as though it had never existed. "I can't do this," he says in a rush. "I can't. Do you think I could get full custody if I tried? I'll bite her in court if I have to. Gino, I can't let this happen." He groans and rubs his face. "No, I can't do that to her, though. That isn't fair." Gino shakes his head and says,
"Talk first, okay? Maybe figure out way to see Mason more."
"Okay, okay." Sydney sucks in a shuddering breath. "Okay, you're right." Gino rubs at his shoulder helplessly.
"Go watch Mason show off, then talk."
Sydney nods and makes no move to follow Aaron. Gino waits for a minute, then gently starts pushing at Sydney until he gets moving, and shuffles off into the living room. Aaron is feeding Mason the puck, cheering every time he hits it and hurriedly steadying him if he looks as though he might fall. She looks up, smiling, and says, "He's going to be a star like you, Sydney."
"Yes,"
Gino agrees, when Sydney fails to answer.
"Like Dada."
"Aaron," Sydney says suddenly, Are you back? For good?" Aaron's expression turns serious, and she straightens up. "Yes, and we need to talk about that." "I thought so," Sydney says, soft and utterly miserable. He gestures to the couch, and they sit, Mason running over to jump into Aaron's lap. "When are you taking him?" That's what we need to talk about." Aaron looks down at Mason and strokes his hair. "I found a job here. One that's steady and has good hours."
"Here in the U.S.?" Sydney says sharply.
"Here in Pittsburgh," Aaron says, and Sydney's eyes go huge. Gino grabs his knee, hope abruptly bubbling up in his chest. "I didn't want to get your hopes up before I was sure, but last time I was here, I was looking for a job in Pittsburgh. I heard back last month, and they're willing to take me as soon as I'm settled. I haven't found a house or anything."
"You're moving to Pittsburgh?" Sydney asks, still staring at her.
"Here?" "Yes," Aaron smiles tentatively. "To be closer to you. And Gino." Sydney's mouth works soundlessly for a moment. Then he chokes out. "Aaron, you don't have to do that." "Yes, I do," she says in a tone that brooks no argument. "Taking Mason away would kill you. You think I don't know that?" She reaches out with a hand not holding Mason and squeezes Sydney's fingers. "You can't move. I can."
"But you love Philadelphia," Sydney says blankly, "and you have full custody."
"We can change that," she says dismissively. "We'll split it, 50-50. I'm looking for a house near you so it's easy for him to go back and forth when you're traveling. He'll be old enough for preschool soon, too, so he'll have somewhere to go during the day." Sydney sits back, looking thunderstruck, and Gino wraps his arm around Sydney's shoulders before leaning past him to say,
"You think about this much?"
"I spent a long time thinking about it," Aaron admits. "Since I got called back to Swaziland.
She looks down at Mason in her lap, red curls falling down from behind her ear. I thought about how hard it was to leave Mason. I nearly didn't go, you know? Sydney talked me into it because he knew I would regret not going. But I would give it up in an instant for Mason, and more importantly, I can. She turns her head to meet Gino's gaze straight on. Mason deserves to have both parents. For a moment, no one says anything. Mason is watching them all with wide eyes, and Gino wonders how much he can understand. Erin drops her gaze from Gino's after a moment and fiddles with a loose lock of her hair. Finally, Sydney rasps out, "I don't want you to give up what you love." "What I love is Mason and helping people." She smiles. "I can help people here. The job I found isn't a step down, Sydney. And if I can be around for Mason, if we can both be around for Mason, then it's worth it. No question." For a moment, Sydney doesn't move. Doesn't even seem to breathe. Then he grabs Erin in a fierce hug, saying, "Thank you." In a relieved brush of breath before turning to Gino and kissing him soundly on the mouth. Erin lets out a choked laugh, and Gino feels himself turning red as Sydney pulls back, eyes bright and looking better than he has in weeks. "I know you still won't be seeing him every day," Erin says, "but this is the best arrangement I could think of for both of us. It's all right?" "We'll make it work," Sydney says, nodding. "Won't we, Gino?"
"Yes,"
Gino says, and he lets himself smile at them. Mason lets out a happy shout and starts clapping his hands. Erin laughs and passes him off to Sydney, who hugs him tight before letting Mason climb into Gino's lap. "Play," Mason says firmly, tugging at Gino's shirt and pointing at the hockey goal. "Papa?"
"Yes, okay,"
Gino says, and he gets down on his knees to play goalie while Mason, Erin, and Sydney gang up on him. Erin stays in Sydney's guest bedroom while she looks for a house, which results in an extremely awkward conversation between her and Gino while Sydney's giving Mason a bath. Gino isn't expecting it at all. He's drinking some herbal tea, getting ready for bed, and early morning practice while Erin eats an apple. And then Erin says, "I'm really happy for you and Sydney." Gino yelps and slops hot tea down his hand. He swears under his breath and hurries to the sink to run his hand under the cold water while Erin apologizes profusely.
"It is okay," he assures her,
drying his hand and picking his mug up again.
"Startle me is all."
"I didn't mean to." She fidgets with the end of her braid. "I just wanted to tell you that I'm glad you and Sydney are happy together."
"Can tell we are happy?"
Gino asks, genuinely curious.
"How?"
Erin smiles. "Something about the way he is around you. He forgets to be on his guard. I don't think he ever kissed me in front of another person when we were dating. It isn't that I don't think he cared about me. I know he did, but..." She shakes her head. "My brother thinks I'm an idiot for not agreeing to marry Sydney."
"Me too,"
Gino says frankly.
"But glad you were an idiot, then."
Erin laughs, head thrown back. "I bet you are."
"Why say no?"
Gino sips at his tea.
"Good life."
"Maybe," she agrees. "But I don't think it would have been good for either of us. I'm not meant to be Sidney Crosby's wife, and he needs someone who he can let himself go with. I think if we had gotten married, we would have woken up one day and realized that we got married because of Mason, and that isn't a good enough reason." Gino doesn't know if she's right. He's absolutely sure Sydney would have devoted himself to her fully if they had gotten married. But he's sure she knows herself, and they both deserve more than what Erin is describing.
"Are you happy?"
"Yes," Erin says simply. "And I'm happy that Mason has you too," she adds as she turns to go. You've done a good job raising our son. She disappears upstairs, leaving Gino standing in the kitchen with a mug full of cooling tea. He's still standing there 2 minutes later when Sydney comes down and says, "There you are. Mason wants you to sing to him." He stops and frowns when he sees Gino's expression. "Something wrong?" Gino hurriedly gulps down his tea and shakes his head.
"Just thinking."
He leans in to kiss Sydney and smiles at him.
"Happy?"
"I'm happy too," Sydney says softly. He smiles back, and Gino loves that smile more than anything. Loves when he sees it reflected on Mason's face. "Now come on, he won't go to sleep without it."
"Spoiled,"
Gino huffs, grinning. And Sydney says, "Your fault if he is," before tugging up the stairs. The playoffs run them all ragged, and by the time the pens are out, Gino is secretly, guiltily grateful that Aaron had found a house for her and Mason before the schedule had them flying all over the country. Every moment of rest is sacred, and they barely have time for themselves, let alone for Mason. But when they return home from losing the conference semifinals, the first thing they do upon returning home is drive to Aaron's new house, a 10-minute ride from Sydney's, and pick up Mason for the rest of the week. "Have fun with Daddy and Papa," Aaron says to Mason, kissing the top of his head and setting his favorite stuffed penguin in his arms. Mason blinks sleepily at them before deciding they're not worth his time and going back to sleep. "Are you coming to the barbecue tomorrow?" Sydney asks Aaron. "I know Vero, at least, wanted to meet you." "I'd love to come," she squeezes his shoulder. "I'm sorry you didn't win, Sydney." "We'll have it next year," Sydney says. "Sure." And Gino can feel it too. The surety that they'll win again. That they'll be able to give Mason the cup. "I know you will," Aaron says. "I'll see you tomorrow." She gives both of them quick hugs, murmurs, "Sorry," again, before waving them off. "So we tell the team tomorrow," Sydney says, when they have Mason settled in his room, having barely stirred from car to crib, before everyone leaves.
"Barbecue at Dan's," Gino nods. "Think that best?"
"It's time," Sydney sighs and leans into Gino, tired and battered from their game. "And you should move in." Gino laughs.
"Okay."
"I'm serious." Sydney looks up at him. "When was the last time you were home?" Gino has to stop and actually think about it. Sydney points at him and says, "Aha." And Gino bats his finger away, laughing.
"Shh," he says. "Mason's sleeping."
And Sydney says, "You shh." And it ends with Sydney pressed up against the wall outside Mason's room, eyes bright and happy despite the loss. "Love you," Sydney says before Gino kisses him. Gino smiles and kisses the hinge of Sydney's jaw.
"I know. Me too."
Gino takes Sydney to bed and kisses each bruise, each mark from the three series that had dragged out, wearing everyone down to the point of utter exhaustion. Sydney returns the favor, fingers lingering over the scar on Gino's knee before he trails his fingers higher up. Gino sighs and pulls Sydney close to him, finally fulfilling the long-denied need to touch his fill without anything immediate to worry them. In the morning, Mason wakes them by calling loudly for them, and even though it's obscenely early, Gino has never been happier to wake up. A grumpy sit at his side, a noisy toddler demanding his breakfast. He sings along with the radio, getting the words wrong and making Sydney laugh, and dances with Mason around the kitchen. "You're ridiculous," Sydney says fondly, kissing his cheek. Gino grins at him and strikes a disco pose, Mason propped on one hip. They head over to Dan's a little after noon, picking Aaron up on the way, and arrive just as James and Paul pull up. Gino waves at James cheerfully and laughs when James sees Aaron, his eyes going wide and jaw-dropping.
Oh my god, is that her?
James asks when he pulls even with them.
No offense, Gino, but I definitely would choose her over you.
Yes, I know. You like red hair,
Gino says serenely, and goes to help Sydney and Aaron get Mason out from his car seat before James can work out his meaning. Despite their finish, the party is surprisingly upbeat, people laughing and kids running around. Mason toddles after Duper's son, shouting incoherently, and Gino keeps one eye on him while he talks to Vero, who is still getting used to letting other people hold her daughter. Flower is proudly showing her off, though, saying,
"She looks just like Vero, eh?"
"Lucky her,"
Gino remarks, and Vero laughs. Aaron ends up talking to Vero and Duper's wife, gesturing as she speaks. James keeps looking at her, clearly trying to be subtle and utterly failing.
"I'm just saying," he says when Gino pokes him. "She's a very striking woman."
"And too good for you,"
Gino says. Mason chooses that moment to come running back over, a flower clutched in his hand, and he shouts, "Papa!"
"Oh, very pretty,"
Gino says, reaching down to hoist Mason up onto the bench between him and James. He catches James' expression and glares at him.
"I didn't say anything," James protests, raising his hands.
"What do you think?"
Gino asks Mason.
"What do you think of Uncle James?"
Mason thinks for a moment, then holds the flower out to James. James looks baffled, but takes it and says, "Thank you." Mason beams and hops off the bench. As he goes tearing off to wreak destruction somewhere else, James says,
"I guess things are pretty serious, eh?"
"Yes."
Gino shifts so he can have a better view of the whole yard.
"Today, we tell people about us."
James chokes on his beer.
"Wow," he says once he's finished coughing. "That's big. That's huge."
Gino swallows down his nervousness and affects a happy smile.
"Yes."
"Wow, man." James shakes his head. "That's crazy. I mean, I'm happy for you, but that's crazy."
"One day you find it too,"
Gino says, purposefully misunderstanding him.
"Excuse me."
He heads across the yard to where Sydney is talking to Brooks and Cooney, and casually bumps hips against his. Sydney turns, smile bright, and says, "There you are." Then he very deliberately links his hand with Gino's. Chris makes a weird noise, but Brooks just nods thoughtfully and says,
"I was wondering when you were going to tell us."
When Gino and Sydney stare at him, he raises his eyebrows.
"Did you think you were being subtle?"
"Hope,"
Gino admits.
"You guys come to practice together every day," Brooks says. "And you... this is going to sound fucking stupid, but you light up around each other."
He frowns at Chris.
"Did you not know?"
Sydney looks mildly mortified, his cheeks flushing pink as Chris says,
"I wasn't sure, but I thought something was going on."
"Are you planning on telling everyone today?"
Brooks asks.
"Well, apparently everyone already knows," Sydney says snarkily,
and Gino has to laugh at Sydney's annoyed expression.
"It'll still mean a lot if you tell everyone yourself,"
Brooks points out, and Sydney nods.
"I'll figure out a way to get everyone's attention for you."
"Thanks," Sydney says, and Gino echoes him. As Brooks and Cooney move off, Sydney turns to look at Gino, clearly exasperated.
"Can you believe that?"
"Make it easy,"
Gino says, shrugging. Sydney scowls at him, and Gino pecks him on the mouth before tugging back towards the rest of the gathering.
"Come on, think burgers are ready."
Sydney and Gino grab two burgers apiece and sit with Aaron and Mason on a square blanket near the Flurries and the Letangs. Alex keeps trying to crawl away, and Chris keeps having to lunge for him before he can get too far. Mason looks vaguely disdainful and is almost dainty as he eats his potato salad and little bits of cut-up hot dog. "Your team is nice," Aaron tells them after she finishes eating. She leans back and tilts her face up to the sky. "Thank you for inviting me."
Your family,
Gino says, since Sydney's mouth is full. And she shoots him a pleased look. Mason falls asleep not long after he finishes eating, sprawled half on Aaron's lap and half on Gino's. Gino shifts a little so his shadow gives Mason a little shade from the sun and tries to remember the SPF of the sunscreen they had put on him. He hopes it's strong enough. Dan stands up, dusting grass off his trousers, and waits for them to fall silent.
I want to tell you guys, he says when he has their attention, that we played a good season. We got to the conference finals and we won our division. That's not too shabby, so don't beat yourselves up too much.
Sydney shifts restlessly, and Gino reflexively reaches over to calm him. Dan's gaze flicks over to them for an instant, and then he continues.
You fought hard and you played well. We'll get him next year.
James whoops loudly, and Gino joins in. And soon everyone is clapping and cheering. Dan smiles at them all and sits back down. Gino glances over at Sydney, who looks nervous suddenly, and then sees Brooks stand up, tall and serious.
I want to thank you all for a good year, he says. We've all worked through a lot this year, and I think we've come out better and stronger for it. And I want to say congratulations to everyone. Flower and Tanger, two new French babies.
Flower laughs and says something in French that has Duper and Tanger shaking their heads.
And of course to Sydney.
People look around towards them, and Sydney goes pink again, but leans into Gino, smiling hugely. Gino can't help his own answering grin, idiotic and wide and painful. Thanks, Sydney says, pitching his voice to Carrie. And, Gino and I have something to announce? He glances over at Gino hesitantly and then plunges on.
He's moving in with me.
Gino rolls his eyes and corrects him.
We live together.
They're dating, Aaron adds, helpfully. And Vera starts laughing, doubling over onto Flower's shoulder. And Sydney lets out a honk of a giggle before tucking his face away.
Yes, Gino says. We are.
Sydney looks up, and they smile dopely at each other.
Kiss, James hollers.
And Gino flips him off before kissing the corner of Sydney's mouth lightly, chastely.
Someone. Flower, Gino thinks.
Wolf whistles. Sydney's blushing when Gino pulls back, even though everyone is shouting congratulations, and Gino asks,
Okay.
Yeah, Sydney says.
He smiles shyly.
I'm great.
People start heading out around four, kids drooping tiredly on their parents' arms. Gino holds a drowsy Mason while Sydney and Aaron help the Bleasmas clean up the yard and says goodbye to the last few stragglers. Dan shoos them out eventually, assuring them that they'll be fine.
Go home, rest. You've earned it.
He shakes Aaron's hand.
It was nice meeting you, Aaron. I hope to see you again.
They say goodbye and leave to drop Aaron off at home. She gives each of them a kiss on the cheek before she goes inside, and she waves as they drive away. That all went better than I expected, Sydney says as they take Mason upstairs. Exhaustion has settled in for both of them, and Gino is struggling to keep his eyes open.
Think people would be angry?
Gino asks, raising his eyebrows.
I don't know, Sydney admits. I didn't know what to expect.
I think they're glad you were happy,
Gino says. He settles Mason in his crib and turns to look Sydney in the eye.
They are good friends.
Yes, Sydney agrees. We're lucky.
Very lucky.
Gino kisses Sydney and then yawns. Sydney laughs at him.
Must be bedtime, eh?
Gino pats at him and lets Sydney tow him down the hall towards the bedroom.
Long day, Sid.
I'll let you sleep in tomorrow, Sydney promises.
They curl up in bed together, foreheads together and hands clasped between them. In the thin moonlight, Gino can just see the gleam of Sydney's eyes, the silvery curve of his cheek.
Thank you,
Gina whispers, squeezing Sydney's hand. For what? Sydney asks sleepily. Gino kisses him instead of answering, and Sydney is smiling when he pulls back. Thank you, Sydney says, a little teasing, but it's sincere and warm, and Gino falls asleep to the feeling of Sydney's breath against his face and the clasp of their hands. Sydney and Gino arrive at the rink at precisely 11 a.m. Aaron is waiting outside, Mason at her side, in a Malkin jersey and a gray cap, and he takes off running when he sees them. Gino drops to his knees in time for Mason to launch himself into his arms, yelling, Papa!
Oh, Gino complains, standing up. Legs not work.
Sydney kisses Mason's head and says, Hey, buddy, happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday, Gino says. Ready for your party?
Mason nods.
Okay, then you walk like big boy.
Mason grumbles under his breath, but when Gino lets him down, he doesn't immediately turn to Sydney with his arms raised, as he sometimes does. Instead, he takes Sydney and Gino's hands and walks them towards the rink. Aaron is watching them with a fond smile as they draw even with her. She reaches out to link her arm through Gino's. He's excited to learn how to skate, she says, smiling, like Daddy and Papa. Skate, skate, Mason says happily, trying to swing on their arms. Gino pulls him upright. Daddy! Walk, Mason, Sydney says firmly. You have to walk before you can skate. Aaron and Gino snort in unison and exchange looks. Sydney scowls at them, but then they're inside the rink, and Mason is practically skipping in excitement. In the dressing room, Duper and Carol Lynn are carefully lacing their kids into their skates, and they wave when Mason comes in, calling, Happy birthday! Mason preens, beaming, and lets go of Sydney and Gino's hands to go babble at Lola. Sydney rolls his eyes and goes to get the box with Mason's skates that they had stashed at the rink a few weeks before. The look on Mason's face when he sees the tiny skates, Gino can't believe how tiny, is one Gino will treasure for the rest of his life. Joy and amazement and awe, all mixed together as he reached forward. Gino carefully moves Mason's hand away from the blade and says,
Careful. Sharp.
You ready? Sydney asks, crouching down and smiling. I promise you'll be a better skater than your mom. Hey, says Aaron from the bench, where she's lacing up a pair of borrowed skates. Mason holds out his foot for the first skate, and Gino helps Sydney put it on. Mason gets a little helmet, too, and as much padding as he'll let them put on him. And then Gino and Sydney help him walk to the ice to the raucous applause of the birthday party guests. Are you ready? Sydney asks Mason. Mason looks out at the ice. Empty still, the guests having deferred to the birthday boy. Scrunches up his nose thoughtfully and then says, Yes. Okay. Sydney steps onto the ice carefully and guides Mason onto the ice. Mason wobbles a little, and Gino hurries onto the ice after them to be there in case Mason falls. Aaron joins them a minute later, her skating more practical than flashy, and she skates alongside Mason as he wobbles around the ice. Mason is giggling, delighted, and beams up at her as she approaches. He is your son, Mason sighs, smiling at them.
Yes,
Gino says fondly. Slowly, the other families start to step onto the ice. The Dupuis children follow their parents like ducklings, the younger children wobblier than the older. Cookie's kids race around the ice, their mother half-heartedly shouting at them to slow down. James skates up after a few minutes and grins at them.
So are all his birthday parties going to be at the rink?
He asks Sydney. Only if he wants them to be, Sydney says, narrowing his eyes at him.
So, yes, James says.
He crouches down to Mason's level and narrows his eyes at Mason. Is your daddy making you do this? Blink one for yes, twice for no. Mason lets go of Sydney and glides awkwardly towards James before falling over onto him. James falls back, feigning injury, and cries, "Illegal hit! Ref, did you see that?" Mason giggles, says, "Uncle Jay's silly," before trying to climb on top of him.
"Whoa there,"
Gino says, lunging forward to grab him before James gets cut by one of Mason's skates.
"Careful, Mason."
Mason lasts a whole half hour on the ice before he gets tired, and Aaron takes him off along with most of the other wives and kids. Someone pulls out a puck and kicks it over to Sydney, who shakes his head until Gino says,
"Oh, come on."
And then they are all scrambling off the ice to grab helmets and sticks. Like all pickup games, it's a mess, but it's fun, and Gino can see Mason cheering with Aaron every time he glances up towards them. Even though Sydney's team wins, he's pleased. He grabs Sydney around the shoulders and says,
"Time for cake and presents."
And Sydney makes a face but nods. The giant pile of gifts is a little intimidating. Gino's parents had sent 4 along with the promise of bringing more when they arrive in Pittsburgh for Christmas. "He's my first grandchild," Gino's mother had said tartly when he had tried to insist that they didn't have to. "And you didn't tell me about him for months, Xenia. Months." Gino has to admit she has a point. Mason successfully blows out the 2 candles on his cake and manages to smear chocolate icing all over his face and hands and hair before Mason grabs him and wipes him off with the baby wipes all 3 of them have taken to carrying around. Mason is much more excited and aware that he's a center of attention than he had been at his first birthday, and he grins and giggles as he tears into gift after gift, shouting in excitement at the toys, the books, the hockey equipment. Nathalie laughs when Mason gets bored halfway through and runs off with Lola to play with his new toys, and pushes the Lemieux gift towards them. "He wouldn't have been excited about this anyway," she remarks dryly. And Gino leans over Sydney's shoulder as he pulls out a very expensive-looking bottle of wine. 2 years old. You're going to need it. Got a bottle of Amaretto for Aaron. A very nice one, too, Aaron says, lifting it as proof. Thank you. Let us know if you ever need babysitting, Nathalie says. One of the last gifts they open is the one from James, and Gino starts laughing the moment he sees the cover of the book. Even Sydney scowls and says, "Are you being serious?" "It's about gay penguins in Central Park," James says defensively. "I thought it would be nice for him to have once he's old enough to read."
"Very nice gift,"
Gino says, squeezing Sydney's hip.
"Thank you."
"Aw, that's cute," Aaron remarks, leaning over to get a look at the book, and James flushes, shuffling his feet. Mason insists on skating one last time before they go home, even though nearly all the guests have left. Gino is the one to take him around the rink this time, Sydney skating in their wake while Aaron and the Lemieux watch from the bench. Mason tries to skate on his own a couple of times, falls on his elbows twice, but bounces right back up and says, "Again." He does tire, eventually, and wraps his arms around Gino's leg, which makes it kind of hard to skate, but Gino manages. Sydney is laughing as Gino tows Mason along, using his free leg to push them towards the edge of the rink, and he catches up with them quickly, saying, "Are you being mean to your papa?" to Mason. "No," Mason says, shaking his head. Gino chuckles and ruffles his hair, coming in thick as Sydney's now. Mason grins up at him and goes easily when Gino pries him off, lifting him up over the edge of the ice. Sydney and Gino talk to Mario and Nathalie while Aaron says goodbye to Mason for the night, giving him a kiss before gathering up about half the gifts to take back to her house for Mason's room. She pulls out the penguin book, though, and sets it back down, shooting them a smile before she heads out.
"We'll help you carry this stuff out," Mario says after surveying the remaining massive pile of gifts.
"Thank you," Sydney says, relieved.
They arrive at home and immediately make a mess as they dump all the gifts on the kitchen table before taking Mason upstairs. Gino doubles back once he thinks of it and snags the book from James. Sydney groans when he sees it. "Really?" he asks.
"New story," Gino says. "And it's sweet."
They sit on their bed, Mason between them with the book spread over their laps, and they take turns reading. Sydney's going slow to match Gino's pace. By the end of the book, Sydney's voice has softened considerably, and when they finish, Sydney leans over to kiss Gino, warm and fond. "Okay, it's a good book," he says. Mason wiggles between them, beaming brightly, and Gino squeezes the back of Sydney's neck before lifting Mason up into his arms.
"Our little penguin,"
he says fondly, rubbing his nose against Mason's. Mason shrieks, flails, giggling, saying, "Papa!" "Yeah," Sydney agrees, cheek dimpling. He kisses the back of Mason's head and sighs. "I can't believe he's two."
"Time travel quick,"
Gino agrees. They exchange looks, and then Sydney leans around to look Mason in the face. "Want to sleep with Daddy and Papa tonight?" he asks. And Mason claps his hands, nodding. Mason shifts around nonstop for about 10 minutes, elbowing Gino in the face and kicking Sydney in the chest a couple of times before finally settling down. Gino curls around him, hand resting on the curve of Sydney's hip, and Sydney smiles at him, already looking sleepy.
"Happy birthday, Mason,"
Gino says softly, and Sydney echoes him. And Mason looks magnificently smug for a whole 2 minutes before he falls asleep, breathing out tiny baby snores. Gino smiles, closes his eyes, and goes to sleep too. The end. Thanks for listening.
I've heard newborn babies wailing like a mourning dove, and old men with broken teeth stranded without love. Do I understand your question, man? Is it hopeless and forlorn? "Come in," she said, "I'll give you shelter from the storm." In a little hilltop village, they gambled for my clothes. I bargained for salvation and they gave me a lethal dose. I offered up my innocence, got repaid with scorn. "Come in," she said, "I'll give you shelter from the storm." Living in a foreign country, but I'm bound across the line. Beauty walks a razor's edge, someday I'll make it mine. If I could only turn back the clock to when God and her were born. "Come in," she said, "I'll give you shelter from the storm."